Hi, folks. It is Wednesday night, 9:02-ish on April 1st. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. My name is Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And we are going to switch up the format right away for tonight's show. We are welcoming not one, but two guests, and I'm ready to just start right in. How about you?
And I am so excited about this guest.
Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, we get to introduce you, so hold on one second. I know folks are excited, and Becca and I are truly excited. Peter Shumlin has served in public life since he was 24 years old, when he began a 7-year stint as chair of the Putney Select Board. He served in the Vermont House from 1989 to 1992, and the Vermont Senate from 1992 to 2002, and from 2002 to right this very second on our show right now. He served as president pro tem of the Vermont Senate from 1997 to 2002, and was again elected to this post by his colleagues in 2006. He is also the main sponsor of a bill that would replace Vermont's first-in-the-nation civil unions law with one that allows marriage of same-sex partners beginning September 1st. Senator Peter Shumlin, welcome to This Show Is So Gay with Ken and Becca.
Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be on.
We are delighted to have you. So let's just dive right in. Where are we at right now? The bill passed in the Senate last week, and it passed, it sounds like it passed in the House Judiciary Committee 8-2 on Monday. What's next?
Okay, well, I'll just sort of tell you where it's at now.
Tell us where the bill is at right now.
We passed the bill in the Senate 26-4, which is an overwhelming vote. Let's remember that Vermont would be the first state in the country that would pass marriage without a court order. In both Massachusetts and Connecticut, the only states that allow marriage at this time are marriage equity, marriage equality. They were both ordered by the courts.
Right.
So we passed it 26-4 in the Senate. It now moves to the Vermont House. The vote will take place tomorrow night.
Okay.
They need 76 votes to pass the bill because there's 150 members in the House.
Okay.
And that a simple majority will pass it. However, the governor, Governor Douglas, has announced that he's going to veto the bill. So the magic number to override that veto is 100 votes. And that's, of course, what we'll be fighting for once he vetoes the bill.
Okay.
How close do you think we are to that magic number?
You know, I run the Senate and the Speaker runs the House, but we're very good friends. We're working very closely together. And he's in the mid-90s now. I think he expects somewhere between 95 and 97 votes tomorrow. So we're going to be working very hard once the governor. What happens technically is that the House will pass the bill. There's no question in my mind that it will pass. They'll get 76 votes and probably something in the 90s.
Okay.
Then it comes back to the Senate. We're going to concur with their bill. In other words, agree with the changes they've made. And I'll do that on Tuesday, and I will message the bill to the governor immediately.
Can we talk about the changes for a second?
Yeah, the changes are so minor they're not worth talking about.
Then let's not talk about them.
Right. They're very minor.
Okay.
I don't agree to them in the Senate. They've made a few improvements to the bill, and they've done good work in the House Judiciary Committee. So then it'll go to the governor. If the governor follows through with his veto threat, it'll come right back, and we will at that point work very hard to override the veto. We definitely have the votes to override in the Senate, obviously, because there are 30 of us, so 20 votes overrides, and we got 26.
Great.
And the big struggle will be to get those two or three votes that were short in the House right now.
Okay. So,
do you think there's any chance that the governor is just going to have this cross his desk and he'll just forget to veto it? Or is there any way he can backpedal from what he's publicly stated already and save face?
So. The only scenario where he could it's not really backpedal, but the only scenario that...
No, that was a negative way to put it if I want him to do it, huh?
but the only way out for him at this point after stating that marriage is between a man and a woman and he's going to stick with his guns and veto the bill, if in fact the House got 100 votes tomorrow, he could say, look, it's clear they have the votes to override. You know, I want to cut this debate short, so I'm not going to veto it, even because I know they have the votes to override.
Right.
That's possible,
right.
But I think he has to go through this his threat.
Now, what got us so fired up last week, Senator, wasn't
so much... We were fired up.
And it wasn't so much that he said he was going to veto it, but just the fact that this is the first time that he's preempted the House to say that he would veto legislation before it even went through the whole process.
Right.
Why this bill? It just seemed like such a slap in the face.
I believe that he's made a very bad judgment, and that he is on the wrong side of history. He's not only on the wrong side of history, but he's on the wrong side of the values that have distinguished this state for as long as we've been an independent state. I mean, Vermonters are tolerant. We care about our neighbors.
Right.
We take care of each other. We reach out to each other. We're one community, and we do not judge each other based upon anything except the quality of our character. Clearly, the governor, in my judgment, has injected a level of distraction into this debate by threatening to veto a bill before it even gets to him.
Right.
That I think is a real disservice to Vermonters. He's on the wrong side of history. He's on the wrong side of our values as a state, and I just think it's a real shame.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm a little curious. Did you or anyone else really have any warning that he was going to come forward and publicly state that?
Yeah. And we sort of have an unspoken system, even though he's Republican and we're Democrats, that when we're going to do something of any significance, we give each other a heads up. He didn't
right.
give us a heads up. And, you know, that just shows the level of the tension in this debate.
Right. So what was your first reaction when you heard at that press conference?
Well, I was both angry and deeply disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that after what happened in California on Election Day, the reason that I wanted to push this bill so badly in Vermont is not only because I think it's one of the last battles in the fight for civil rights that we're going to see as a country. You know, let's be honest about this. Whether you're Barack Obama or Jim Douglas, gay and lesbian Vermonters or gay and lesbian people, are members of our community, are the only people that you can actively work against and see your numbers go up in
right.
the polls. I mean, that's really what this is about. And when you see, whether it's Obama or Jim Douglas, standing on the side of history that says we're not one community, we're not going to advance these civil rights, it's because they can get away with it. And it's because if you take the popular opinion polls in many states, that's what the majority thinks. So we have a duty as public servants, in my judgment, to stand up for the last vestige of people in America that it's okay to discriminate against.
Right.
It is not okay. And it is not okay to stand in the way of any people, any two people, that want to commit to have a loving relationship for the rest of their lives together.
Now, you have coined a number of catchphrases this week. Do you know this? It's all over the news.
It's kind of amazing.
So first we have, you can't veto love. That's a good one.
Well, you can't.
You can't. You can't. And then the other one, and what's so remarkable to me about Governor Douglas, not just a disservice to Vermonters, but I think a real disservice to those we have elected to represent us, the idea that we can't, that our elected representatives can't focus on more than one thing right now,
right.
Which I thought you did so well to refute that and to just say, you know, we actually can.
Well, not only can we, but we do.
Right.
I mean, the fact is that if you want to talk about other issues for a minute, you know, we have spent very little time on marriage equality in Vermont. I asked my Judiciary Committee to spend 5 mornings listening to the pros and the cons and make a judgment.
Right.
And if they didn't feel after 6 or 7 hours of taking testimony on the bill, these 5 individuals, that it should be advanced, I could live with that judgment. If they felt it should be advanced, I wanted to put it up on the floor, have a quick debate, and move it on to the House in a way that wouldn't divide Vermonters the way the civil union vote did. You know, we were on schedule. Everything was going according to plan. Shap Smith, the Speaker of the House, was going to do exactly as we had done in the Senate. It was the governor who injected the divisiveness into this debate. Now, he says it's a distraction. And I got to ask you, how many folks could call civil rights
right.
a distraction?
Governor Douglas.
The only one I can think of right now. There have been others in our history.
What about Representative O'Donnell?
Well, yeah.
Well,
tell us. Oh, that's right. Well, speaking of, so what?
My representative.
Your representative.
Shame.
Well, what? So what should our listeners do, Senator?
Well,
so,
it's really
other than
important.
Say shame over the radio directed at representatives.
It's tremendously important that we that anyone in Vermont who believes that marriage equality is a basic civil right and the right thing to do and an opportunity not only to reflect our values as Vermonters, but to help lead other states to do the same. Pick up the phone, call the governor. Don't give up on him. Call the governor's hotline. There's an 800 number in your phone book under state government, governor of Vermont, and say, governor, change your mind. You're on the wrong side of history, and you're on the wrong side of me. I vote, I matter, and I won't vote for you if you're going to take a stand against my beliefs. Second, call your representative. If you're from Guilford or Vernon, call Representative O'Donnell. If you're up in the hills, Representative Rick needs to hear from you. These are folks that can vote for this bill and make a great difference. Vote for the override and make a real difference. But let your voices be heard.
And what would you say, because we are a nonprofit radio station, we want to give fair time to both sides. What would you say to your constituents who think, wow, this is just the wrong move? Certainly there were a lot of articles this week about how Governor Douglas's office was flooded with emails and both,
I've been shocked.
Yeah, both for and against. And some of the emails that were quoted in the news was one woman saying, Governor Douglas, it takes courage to do what you're doing. It must be a difficult position, but there are many Vermonters who are with you, but simply don't know how to articulate it. Hold firm. What would you say to those constituents who are on that side?
Well, listen, I would never criticize anyone for their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I criticize the governor for his approach, for the way that he's injected divisiveness into this debate by threatening to veto the bill before it's even through the legislative process. That's
right.
A process question that I think is really a very poor judgment on his part. Folks can believe what they want about marriage. I can disagree with them, but I respect anybody's point of view.
Absolutely.
But I think the ultimate thing that we have to remember to the folks who say that this is a threat to my marriage, and that really is the most persuasive argument, is that people who, heterosexuals who have been in marriages for a long time, feel that this, that allowing gay and lesbian couples to join in the phrase of marriage and in the institution of marriage, that somehow that diminishes their unity and their marriage. And all I can tell you is that we heard exactly the same arguments when I was president of the Senate 9 years ago,
right,
and folks were against civil unions. They said, this is going to destroy or this is going to hurt my marriage. And the obvious question is, how many Vermonters feel that their marriage was hurt by gay and lesbian couples being allowed to enter into civil unions?
Right.
Now, if you weren't hurt by them being entering into civil unions, how would them entering into marriage hurt your marriage?
Right.
Now, there are a lot of things that hurt heterosexual marriages. Let's be honest about this. Marriage is a tough thing to pull off. But whether or not gay and lesbians get married will not be the detriment to your marriage. I think all of our marriages go through tough times. Most do. There are a lot of influences in marriage. I'll never forget Senator Helen Reilly, a Republican from Chittenden County. We were discussing civil unions. She got up on the floor and she said, listen, I've heard from my constituents that they feel that having gay and lesbians allowed to enter into civil unions will somehow hurt my marriage. She said, there are a lot of things that have threatened my marriage over the years, but it's all been heterosexual,
right,
relationships threatening my marriage, not gay or lesbians threatening my marriage. And I think that's the point, is listen, whether or not your marriage is strong will not be influenced by other people joining into a union that you also have.
And that's the deal. Senator Shumlin, you are doing such incredible work. The power of an ally, we talk about it all the time, and it simply cannot be said enough that there is so much power in creating a community of gay and lesbian people, of people who identify as transgender, and so important to have allies.
And it's such a great illustration ally. Because, I mean, Ken and I have also talked about how we don't necessarily put marriage as our top priority at all.
Right.
And so to have such a strong ally working for that for us while we also are focusing on
some other
hate crime discrimination,
yeah,
and all the other things.
Sure.
We are so appreciative.
It's moving that you care even more than we do in
ways. We can all argue about the institution of marriage and whether we want to join it or not. Mm-hmm. And that's a legitimate argument that we can all have.
Yeah.
And that's a very personal decision. But the point is, whether you believe in the institution of marriage or not, and we could debate that for a long time, the simple question here is, should two people that love each other that want to be together for the rest of their lives be precluded from joining that institution for any reason. And I can't find the argument for a yes on that one.
Right.
I think that's what you'll see in your Vermont House.
There we go.
Right.
So folks out there, please, please contact your representatives. Absolutely contact Governor Douglas. And show your support for our amazing senators and our representatives who are doing such fantastic work. Senator Shumlin, we are so appreciative for you taking the time on a Wednesday night, and we wish you all the best for tomorrow and everything coming up soon.
Well, thanks for having me, and we're going to fight to win.
Thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I didn't hear what you were saying. I live on all emotion, baby. I answer questions, never maybe. And I'm not kind if you betray me. So who the hell are you to save me? I never would have made it, babe. If you needed love, well then ask for love. Could have given love, now I'm taking love. And it's not my fault, cause you both deserve what's coming now. So don't say your word. Wake up.
That was Wake Up Call by Maroon 5. Hey, Becca, are you ready to just keep going and welcome another guest?
I am ready.
Guest, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, now we're going to introduce you. We are flying
welcome,
tonight.
Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, we're going fast. Here we go, folks. Chastity Kirvin is the creator, director, and filmmaker of the film The Dark Side of the Rainbow, the first GLBT film entirely captured, Becca, by a cell phone.
Incredible.
With a built-in video and microphone, Chastity shot the film documentary style about same-sex domestic abuse, exploring how the denial of equal rights of those within the GLBT community contribute to the silencing of same-sex violence victims. This film is such a wake-up call in light of the failure of California's Prop 8 Say No to It campaign, as well as a tribute to the honesty and courage of just such inspiring groups. And if that wasn't enough, Chastity also writes poetry and completed her first novel, What Goes Around Comes Back Around, which rolled off the presses at the end of last year and received a nomination for Best Lesbian Fiction by the Lambda Literary Foundation.
And I would like to add a total hottie.
Becca, we don't say, you didn't say that about the state senator.
Him too.
On that note, Chastity, welcome to this show, So Gay with Ken and Becca. How are you?
I'm doing good.
What's going on in your world these days?
Man, I'm staying very busy.
Well, tell us, first of all, how did The Dark Side of the Rainbow come up?
Okay.
And how do you do that? My cell phone can only capture phone calls and sometimes shadowy photographs.
Right. Well, I had a pretty good cell phone. I might have to start there.
All right, that's where it started.
Okay, good start.
But it did capture only in 14-second to 16-second increments. So
talk about a crippling technical issue.
Yeah, there was one take, and that was it. And I was hopeful that everybody would say in that 14 seconds what I needed them to say.
Yeah.
Because it's about 14 minutes long. So it all came together, but it started, I had taken on a project about a food pantry program for HIV patients. They were losing their funding, and I'd read it in the newspaper, and I decided I wasn't going to turn the page anymore. I was going to try to help. So I created a community rummage sale, and through the press of the rummage sale, people started giving donations. Well, eventually the food pantry program was saved, and so those 3,000 homeless HIV patients are still eating on that food pantry program.
Okay.
And that's in Dallas, was that right?
Yeah, this was in Dallas. And so once I did that, I was giving a speech at UNT. I ran into Heidi, who's in the film, and she was telling me how a serious problem this was in the GLBT community, that as in comparison to the heterosexual community, we died more often due to same-sex domestic violence. And I really didn't register to me that this was such a serious problem.
Right.
Well, I met her later on at the Resource Center, and we discussed it, and I decided at that point that I was going to do a film about it to bring awareness to the problem.
Gotcha. And what kind of feedback have you gotten from this? I mean, it just sounds so incredible.
Well, I've gotten tremendous feedback, mostly from people who have been touched by same-sex domestic violence or know people who have died.
Right.
And they are just incredibly grateful that the discussion has been started. I mean, I've gotten some reviews, and I've also been playing at several festivals around the country.
Yeah.
But I've gotten positive feedback, nothing but positive, but it's starting that dialogue that people don't like to discuss domestic violence. You know, with that Chris Brown situation and Jennifer Hudson, it's a touchy personal subject that people don't like to talk about. But it needs to take the national stage like it did with the Burning Dead and Farrah Fawcett back in the day.
Yeah.
We need to have that kind of dialogue about this.
Now, I imagine it was incredibly emotional, though, for you, this whole experience of filming it. How were you able to just refocus every day and say, you know what, I have a mission here?
How long did you take to film?
I took about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. It was emotional because, I mean, I would come up on the street and talk to people, and just the horrible stories. I mean, because people's family turned on them because they're gay. You can't go to your church. The government, of course, like with the anti-Prop 8 situation, say that we don't have real relationships, so no relationship, no abuse. Where do these people turn? And so then really they have horrific problems placing transgender men and kind of masculine women, or transgender women too, or even just masculine women. They get turned away from these shelters and emergency services. So I decided to go one step further. I've decided to executive produce an internet reality show about my life.
Oh, wow.
And while I'm doing it, it's called Soul Print, because I want people to follow my life as I try to leave my soul print on the world. You know, kind of like fingerprint, soul print.
Oh, so, Becca, I want a soul print.
I'm sure you have one.
What's my soul print?
You've got to seek it.
Oh, all right.
And so in the process of this, I'll be looking for love.
Okay.
I'll be promoting my book and film. And then I'll be raising money to build the first transgender GLBT domestic violence emergency shelter.
Oh. And where are you going to be doing that? Where's your goal?
In Dallas. One I'm going to try to build in Dallas. and I'm going to use it with my own money and money I raised from the show. And me and my friends are going to do the renovations on the property ourselves.
Wow.
And potentially, I've been told by different and various GLBT centers that it could potentially save up to 10 lives a year. And I hope that if I do that, other people will be touched and maybe do the same in their community.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. That would be fantastic. And yesterday was Transgender Day of Visibility. I don't know if folks know that. And a lot of the stories that are out there right now are how can we pay more attention to the transgender community? That when we've talked about this on some of our previous shows, that when we say GLBT, a lot of people are either G or L, and sometimes there are Bs, but nobody seems to pay attention to the Ts and the struggles in that community. How can we start to raise awareness about the Ts, who are just so important to put a face to?
Yeah, and I find in this fight that I've decided to take on, that has been a real issue. I think that it's kind of taken a back seat because I have kind of highlighted it and made it the first thing,
right,
instead of the last
mm-hmm.
thing, because the shelter I'm building is transgender GLBT.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that die more often. And I think that people, even within our community, try not to understand their point of view. And to me, it's kind of hypocritical because in the heterosexual community, they don't understand our point of view.
Yeah.
I think that as long as we are compassionate about the issues that concern them within our community and that impact them even more so, like this issue, domestic violence,
right,
then we within the community are paying attention to the issues that are important to them as well as us. Because we're all one blanket, and that one thread kind of hooks us all together. So if they're not doing well, I'm not doing well.
Absolutely. Do you find that even gay rights activists kind of push back about focusing on domestic violence and how that might be a negative image to put out there when
yes,
we're having all the
that.
Other fights?
Yes, I've gotten that a lot.
It's bad for PR.
They're trying to why are you trying to bring attention to this? That's a black eye on our community. I'm like, these people are human. They're dying silently. And you need to be compassionate about trying to save those people's lives, making them feel important, because I'm telling you, as a person who's spoken to these victims, they don't feel like they're worth saving. They feel like trash. And everybody's throwing them away, so why stay alive?
Yeah.
And my thing is, be compassionate to these people, and if anybody out there in this situation can hear the extent of my voice, if you believe nobody cares, don't believe that. I do.
Yeah, and we do.
Yes.
We do, too.
Absolutely.
Can we join you in that? We care, too. I don't know what my soul print is, but I care. I'm going to work on that, but I absolutely care. And then you said, you know what, I need to get my poetry out there, too.
Right, right.
Like you weren't impressive enough.
Yeah. You're making the rest of
us exactly.
Look bad,
I'm
by
just
the way.
Kidding. No, it's good, though.
So
shine
tell us about the inspiration for your poetry.
Well, I think my inspiration for my poetry is the same for my art. I guess if I tell you guys that, you probably think I'm really incredible, too, but I'm an artist, too.
Are you sleeping? It's
do
really
you do
important
computer
that you
networking?
Sleep.
Do you fix cars? Do computer networking? Are you a fashion designer?
I feel like if I did all the things that you do, I would have no time for Facebook.
That's what my friends say. They say, when do you have time for MySpace or Facebook?
Yeah.
I said, the middle of the night or very early in the morning.
Oh right. And when Ken says that, you should see the list of the things that Ken does. I'm the one. I go to work. I go home. I'm like, oh, that was exhausting.
You are going to go home tonight and write a poem, Becca. That's what I'm pointing at her. People can't see that, but I'm pointing at her. Okay, so the inspiration for your poetry is very similar to
does
your art.
Does it work
about
if
that.
Someone
work.
Points a finger at you and demands that you write a poem? Has that ever worked for you?
Inspirational. No, I don't think it's inspirational.
Okay, so tell us, inspire us. How can we get in touch with our inner poetry?
Well, I think life experience. I mean, we've all been in love. We've all had our hearts broken. We've all, felt unappreciated or angry. And it all started, even writing a novel started with putting those emotions on paper. And for me, writing is more of an outlet of my emotions. And artwork, drawing or painting, is more of a relaxation. So I'll paint to get more relaxed, and then I'll start writing.
Okay.
So I get inspired by the things that have happened to me. Like, I'm single now. I recently broke up with my partner of 3.5 years about 4 months ago. So
we'll have you set up by the end of the show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I find a lot of inspiration from life experience.
Okay.
And so I plan to have an art show at the end of the year, and it's going to benefit that house, the domestic violence shelter. I'm going to do whatever I can to raise money for that. Because even if I just do that with my life, I'll feel accomplished.
I can't.
Gosh, I feel like we have a hard time in Vermont. You're in Texas. I've been to Texas. My father lives in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible belt, the buckle hits me in the head every time.
Yeah.
That's going to leave a mark.
It will.
Oh, my
it
gosh.
Will.
Oh, I cannot wait until you break ground on this project. Just that first, you need to, first of all,
I will write a poem.
I don't know who I'm even pointing at right now. Becca will write a poem. I will make a film on my cell phone of 14 minutes of you just beaming ear to ear as you need to make sure that you are the one holding that shovel. Promise me you'll be holding that shovel.
I will.
Okay.
I'm going to send you guys a picture because you're right. I'm going to be ear to ear, and I'm going to be happy because we're not only going to just try to house them in an emergency situation, we're going to try to teach them job skills and get them counseling so that they can try to stay away from the abuse.
Oh,
and the thing about it is, like Heidi at the Resource Center told me, if you're in a relationship, you could be at risk of being in a domestic violence situation. So nobody's immune to this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important that people hear that, and we hope people are taking that to heart and really take some action. I was living back in Westchester, and I was on an LGBT advisory board of Westchester County, and one of the issues that we talked about often were the shelters, the emergency shelters in Westchester. And it was great that they were starting to be more accepting of lesbian and gay survivors, but transgender survivors were just having the roughest time in them.
Right.
And there wasn't the space to give them a single room.
Right.
And so it was really rough. So I can only hope this inspires people all across the nation to start working on their own place.
And I hope because it's such a national issue right now. It's such a hot-button issue, unfortunately, due to Chris Brown's situation.
Yeah.
But I hope because it is, people start paying attention to the issue that, you know, these victims also need attention. These victims also need funding. You know, I'm not going to give up. If we get here in Texas, believe me, I'm coming up against an army of Christianity that will fight me every step of the way.
But
I'm up for the battle.
Yeah.
And I think that we deserve as much funding as any heterosexual situation, because this doesn't have a category. Abuse has all faces, all colors, all sexualities, all races. So I think that it deserves the funding and the attention in the lives to be saved, because, you know, in reality, most of those people die,
right,
or they end up on the street prostituting.
Right.
Right.
That's just the two options directions that they go in.
All right, so we need to start. We're raising awareness right here.
We are.
So she makes films, Becca. She writes poetry. I don't think she sleeps. She's single. We'll work on that.
And how do we contact you?
Wait, hold on. We'll get to that. The first thing we need to see if she can do is psychoanalyze herself based on the song selections that she has provided for us. So, Chastity, this is the part where
this
we talk about your songs
of your interview.
And you tell us what they mean about you. So we just listened to, right before you came on, Wake Up Call by Maroon 5. What about that song?
Well, I love Maroon 5,
yeah,
first of all. And I guess what that says about me is, I guess I can use that in several different forms, but immediately experienced forms is, I think that when I helped the food pantry program and I took on this issue, that was a wake-up call for me. That
absolutely.
My world doesn't just revolve around me. And second, it had to do with my love life. Not that there was an affair or anything that came between us, but more that we outgrew each other.
Right.
And me waking up to the fact that you can't force somebody to grow at the same rate you're growing.
Hmm. Yeah. And now how about, which we will play in a couple seconds, Green Light by John Legend, who is a little bit attractive.
Yeah, well, I just love that song.
Yeah.
I love to dance to it. And my friends say that, you know, a lot of women kind of throw themselves at me and are always coming on to me. So I think that mostly that's their thought of me just being this kind of, like, lesbian Rico Suave and always...
Nice.
Trouble.
Pushing women away.
And if that wasn't enough, Becca, her third song, Sexy Back. I don't even think you need to say anything, Chastity. I don't think you need to say a word about that one.
No, we're just going to put that one out to the iTunes world and see who contacts you. And you have to let us know because we are also a matchmaking service.
Yes, we provide all services to this community, both news and politics, and also we set up our guests on dates.
Oh, okay. Well, if that works out, then I'll have to film that.
And write poetry.
So tell folks if they want to learn more about everything that you are working on, which they need to set aside a couple hours to read about it, where should they go?
Well, first place you could check is MySpace, and everybody goes to MySpace daily. And so my specific location is, that you know, MySpace/CDKIRVEN. So you can check me out there.
Okay.
I have pictures and information about all my projects and a promo for the show, Soul Print. And then also I'm an activist because I speak at anti-prop aid rallies.
Okay.
Like there's about to be one about the decision about those 1,800 marriages.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to speak at the one in Dallas. So if you want to find out about those, my speaking engagements, and the links to my to purchase my book, What Goes Around Comes Around, you can go to my blog at, you know,
you blog too?
Yeah, cdcurvin.blogspot.com.
Will you promise us that you're sleeping? Do you promise? Because we can't set you up if you're not sleeping.
And eating your vegetables.
Yes, I am. And I am going to get to a point where I want to find someone to share my life with, and that whom I can appreciate and love and spoil and obey for the next 30 years.
Nice.
So if there's a woman out there who wants somebody totally dedicated to them, is a one-woman type of person who will love them for exactly who they are and not who they want them to be, then I'm the woman.
There you go.
There you go.
That was it. We're going with that tagline.
What more do you need to say?
Chastity, it is such an absolute pleasure having you call on the show. You are doing such amazing work for a community that desperately, desperately needs a voice, and you are providing that voice. We are so appreciative. And, you know, it happens to be, it's the type of work where you might not get that thank you that you so deserve because of the communities that you are so aptly representing. But on behalf of them, we truly thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just you guys talking about this subject, bringing it to attention, and making people aware that it's such a huge problem is going to help.
Oh, we hope so.
So thank you guys, too, for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. Make sure you eat your vegetables, get some sleep, and we cannot wait to hear from you when you break ground on this project.
Okay, you will, and I'll send you guys a picture.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go right now. I'm checking your smile, working your back like it's going out of style. Shake just a little bit faster, shake just a little now, girl. I'm dying to meet you, so let's mess around. Got an obsession with us getting down. Come just a little bit closer, I just need permission, so
give me the green light, give me just one. Baby, let's be know that it's gonna be right. I ain't looking right now.
Do I have a girlfriend? Well, technically no. If you be my girlfriend, then I'll make it so. You'll be my only true lover. No competition, no other. Maybe it's just the thrill of the chase, but I've got a feeling I'm winning this race. Baby, I'm getting much closer. I just need permission, so
give me the real love. Give me just one. Staring at me, I told her, let's go, let's blow this lame nigga factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comment, I just want you, woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with. Three, the one and only, one thing you ain't considered. I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, we can get it. Admit it, you did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding, we both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Oh, that's the ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robin Givens. No, I don't know that lady, so let me quit it. I'm just style freeing, freestyling, which I seldom do. This is what I'm telling you. To the bed, I'm telling you. Like I've been in jail for 2 years and then they let me in. You got you one legend. Sometimes you gotta step from behind that piano. Let them know what's going on.
That was Green Light by John Legend featuring Andre 3000, as requested by our guest, Chastity Kervin, who is so fantastic and doing so many great things. And we want to thank Senator Shumlin. You would think we're at the end of our show. We're not.
But we're not.
We still have so much more to talk about. We have news and politics to talk about, Becca.
It's a big week for us.
It's a big week. So one of the stories that I wanted to alert folks' attention to, if you've not heard, the Special Olympics started a campaign to rid our society of the word retard and retarded, that using that phrase, as they call it, the R word, from casual conversation. The quote from their website is, "Our language frames how we think about others. Help eliminate the use of the R word in everyday speech." And you can check out more about that at http://www.r-word.org. Why do I bring that up, folks?
Is the dash a hyphen?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a hyphen.
Just making sure.
No, that's good, because I want people to go to that site and please sign their pledge. They're trying to get more and more people to sign the pledge. This is so analogous to folks using the phrase, "that's so gay," in a negative way, not in the way that we use it for the title of the show, because we...
Because we're different.
Yes, we're different, and we're using it correctly. Please go check out their site. And if we even stop all the people listening to this show from using the R word, then we will have done our part. But we want to have people tell somebody else to not be using the word retarded, because there's no reason to be using that word whatsoever. So perhaps if you're a friend of mine, and I won't name any names, and I really won't this time, who uses that word, and you know who you are, stop using that word. I've told you a million times, stop using that word. So that is that. One of the other stories that I thought was really interesting of this week, since we were on the air last week, was a study came out, a survey of the compensation paid to the heads of 30 LGBT and AIDS organizations. Did you see this?
No.
Conducted by the Washington Blade. The Washington Blade shows that Craig Schneiderman of Food and Friends, which is an LGBT organization, had a total salary and benefits package of $382,000, placing him just ahead of Joe Salmonis, the executive director of the Human Rights Campaign, who receives a total compensation package of $338,000, and also tops number three, Lori Jean, who's the executive director of the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, who has a total salary benefits package of $327,000. That seems like a lot.
It seems like more than we're making.
That I will say with 100% certainty, we are not making that much. And we've had folks writing in and saying, well, just have your, I know you're having technical difficulty, just have your producer do the, and maybe have your producer, and hey, make sure that your producer.
We'll have our people call your people.
So folks know that have subscribed on iTunes and are listening live and are listening through our website, we don't have a producer. It's really just Ken and Becca in the studio queuing everything up. So
because
that's
this
very
is
cute
a fabulous community. It is really cute, but this is community radio. We're out of Brattleboro. We're a tiny little studio, and our studio is actually suffering a bit. We just basically rent a studio. So,
and we really
it's a
want.
Cooperative.
I was going to say this towards the end, but I'll get it out of the way now. As we said last week, the WVEW, which is our nonprofit radio station here in Brattleboro, Vermont, is undergoing its spring fundraising drive. So please, please, please go over to wvew.org. And truly, all Becca and I are asking for is $5. If there's any way you could just donate $5, that would be amazing. That's it, $5, the price of probably a latte and a napkin at Starbucks, because I think the napkin's like 30 cents, and maybe they charge to use the bathroom. I don't know.
But it was more than that. Yeah.
So please, please, just $5. And the most amazing thing about public radio is that if all the folks that subscribe to our show on iTunes gave $5, the station would be set for months.
The year,
but I am ready to up the ante. If you were to donate $20 to WVEW and you put in the little comment box that you're donating on behalf of our show, and they'll then tell us, we will send you a This Show Is So Gay magnet.
We sure will.
This is like a public radio station where we send them gifts if they donate. So if you give $20, we will send you a magnet. But if you don't need the magnet and $20 is really not what you can pull right now, that's totally fine. Just if there's any possible way that you could donate $5, I cannot begin to tell you how it will save the station. But enough of that. So the comments on the article about how much these folks are making were so riveting, because some people were saying they deserve to make that much, the amount that they are giving back to this community, and then other people were saying that's ridiculous. These are nonprofits that are fighting for rights. Why are they getting paid over $300,000?
But that's low for executive level management. I mean, really.
So maybe that should put it into perspective.
If you look at CEOs, I mean, you're talking millions of dollars.
And so maybe $300,000 is not that much.
And they could take their skills and go elsewhere.
They
so
could.
That's
we don't
the
want
question.
Them
is
to.
We have a lot of really great, very skilled people leading these organizations, which is why we're making the progress we are. And it does seem high to people like us who are activists for free. But, you know.
Yeah. So maybe it's not that bad. But so folks should check out that Washington Blade article, if only for the comments. And as I say every week, all the drama is going down in the comments.
Right.
All of it. So I tried to do this again. This is the second week in a row. See, normally when we introduce a new thing on the show, we forget about it by the next week. So the fact that we're actually doing something the second week, huge. So I noted my top three
we
favorite.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We just forget about it. Remember when we had that
short
contest?
Short attention spans.
We had that contest with the secret words that no one won. If you were to go to our website, thisshowissogay.com, and listen to our first five shows, you could still win the contest and win a t-shirt if you find the
That's
five
true,
secret
because
words.
That's true, because no one's won yet.
But anyway, I wrote down my top three favorite anti-gay comments. For some reason, this was extraordinarily cathartic to me. I think instead of ending the show as angry as I used to do months ago, for some reason, this really helps. Because
channeling the anger of others against himself.
Well, I think it is. Because when you put them together and you put your top three favorite list of the most anti-gay ridiculous comments, they have absolutely no power whatsoever. They just seem so ridiculous and so silly that I can't help but be amused by them. So number three was, quote, How is the right to marry any different than having the right to drive? Not everyone, like those under 16, has the right to obtain a driver's license. Why should everyone have a right to a marriage license? I just thought the idea that they were comparing it to driver's license, that was funny. Number okay. two, and this is where it started getting mean. People get mean out there. The homos, by the way, Becca, that's us. That's us, just so you know.
I kind of like that, okay. actually. It's
okay. The homos know that they will destroy and confuse the future of children and grandchildren, but they will do it anyway, just for financial selfish interests and lust. Just so folks know, Becca and I are not in it, this show, for either financial interest.
Or lust.
Nor lust. Just so folks.
just to clarify.
Just to clarify. And then my favorite comment of the week, this one cracked me up. We all have two hands, two legs, two eyes. If someone is born with one limb or no legs because of some medical condition, you sympathize with them. Either operate or give them limbs. You don't make that normal, and thus you don't let that person marry. That's funny.
That's wrong on so many levels.
I think that's again, when you just start reading all of these comments, you can't be that upset about it. So I know we're in iTunes. Our podcast is under News and Politics. And indeed, all of these comments came from news stories. But you got to just go down and read the comments because it's not about the story anymore, folks.
I think we need to call this segment like Flamers for Flamers, you know, because it's really funny.
Look at
just
you.
Flamers. Because I think it's so funny that, you know, people who do that are called flamers.
There was one other article that I
watched. It's clever, you see?
It's clever.
It's funny. Okay. Anyway.
There was one other article that I wanted. I'm not going to read from it, but I want to draw people's attention to because it's a great, great op-ed piece. It's called Hitching a Freedom Ride, Gay Ain't the New Black. And it's by Jonathan L. Walton, and it's off of religiondispatches.org. And Religion Dispatches is a site I discovered today. It's a daily online magazine dedicated to the analysis and understanding of religious forces in the world today, highlighting a diversity of progressive voices and aimed at broadening and advancing the public conversation. So your homework for next week, folks, is to read this article, Hitching a Freedom Ride, Gay Ain't the New Black. It's a really interesting story about how much the gay community and how many different contexts they're comparing it to the struggle of all people of color for civil rights, and how, you know what, that's maybe not the most apt comparison. And I was thinking about this. Becca and I were at a marriage vigil on Sunday here in Vermont.
I've been to a few
week. You've been to a ton. The one that we were at, which was oddly in the basement of a church, just a recommendation, folks, if you're going to have a vigil, have it outside where people walking by can join it.
The drizzle was upsetting. And if it hadn't been indoors, we might not have had the chance to
trap the senator at the door.
We definitely cornered him.
But during the vigil, they passed out lyrics and everyone sang We Shall Overcome. And it was a really kind of off-putting, weird moment, I thought, in my opinion, just because it felt a little bit inappropriate. And I've been saying it all week. Wow, this just felt inappropriate. I'm not exactly sure why. And then I read this great article. Again, it's called Hitching a Freedom Ride, Gay Ain't the New Black by Jonathan L. Walton. It's on religiondispatches.org. Read that article and it just helped encapsulate. So that's all the news in a very short amount of time because we had two guests and things have been crazy.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I did not participate in the sing-along.
I did not.
Because I do not participate in sing-alongs.
And yet, you did not participate in the sing-along, but in the picture, in the Reformer, in the Brattleboro paper, there's Becca right there behind the two women holding their hands up. So
With the subtitle, you know, We Shall Overcome.
So
I thought was fairly inappropriate.
Yeah.
But it was very Vermont. We had a legislator actually playing the guitar and leading the sing-along, and a lot of people did find it really moving. I'm from the New York metropolitan area, and I don't do things like that.
I'm from the New York metropolitan area. I love a good sing-along. I'm telling you, suddenly Seymour, five nights a week, I'm the happiest person. Don't look at me like that. It's a great song. Folks, we are so appreciative, as we say every week, of all the people that are subscribing on iTunes. We want to let folks know that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, we would love to have you on there. Just search for The Show So Gay. It's in the Facebook, and our group will come up, and it's a great way to network with other people.
It sure is.
Who not only listen to the show, which is, you know, it brings people together, but also one of the great things is that people put links to other Facebook groups that are doing great work. So the groups that are focused on not using using the word gay to mean stupid. Our doctor on call out in California, Dr. Reed, who has great groups out there on getting rid of the proposition system and how the proposition system is flawed, and links to just a ton of other great groups. God, the internet's a really cool thing.
Surely.
It's a really cool thing. So definitely join the Facebook group. Please, please check out our website, theshowisogay.com.
Subscribe to
subscribe
iTunes.
Subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Yeah, we even like in person. People,
yeah, yeah, just the middle of the day. Hey, I was listening to this podcast. And that's pretty much it. Send us an email, too. We promise you, every single email that we get, we respond to. Someone wrote us and said, I'm not sure if you're even going to have the time to respond to this. We have the time. We will respond to you. We promise. And with that, right after this show tonight, the tagline voting will end. So people who are voting on our website, you only have until I get home in like 15 minutes. By the time you're listening to this on the podcast, it's over. You can't vote anymore. So we are going to take the top taglines. We are going to submit them to our blue ribbon panel of past guests. And we will
will get back to you.
And we will get back to you and let you know who the winner is. And that winner will get a free t-shirt. So, folks, it's been a nutty, crazy, fast-paced, amazing, guest-filled, soul print kind of show.
It sure has.
And we thank you guys for listening in. And so we leave you with, have a great week, everyone. And remember, why just be gay when you can be
so gay?
Sexy, huh?